Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Today is the last Sunday of a church liturgical year. And on the last Sunday of a church year, we always celebrate Christ the King, which means next Sunday is the first Sunday of a church year, therefore Advent. Advent has four Sundays, and then we celebrate Christmas. But today is the last day of the church year. This last Sunday of this church year is almost like a New Year's Eve kind of Sunday. Yet it is jarring to hear as the gospel, the crucifixion of Jesus. And so we ask, how does the crucifixion relate to Jesus as King? At first glance, the only thing that seems to justify the title of Christ the King is the sign above the head of Jesus that says so. This is the King of the Jews. That cross was not an earthly bejeweled golden throne, but an instrument of torture and execution. A cross on which this God became one of us, suffered and died. It is such a horrific image. It is hard to understand this image of suffering and death with the title Christ the King. The description of the crucifixion compared to portraits of kings and queens in their finery. Yet the cross of Jesus Christ has become more powerful than any throne on earth. But the readings today confront us. Jesus as King, when he himself says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And that is precisely what we need to grasp, that the values, message, mission, and life of Jesus was and is different from any earthly kingdom. So let us contrast our familiar understanding of present-day royalty with the radical life of Jesus of Nazareth, who at his death was mocked as a king. I would like us to consider a present-day monarch, Queen Elizabeth of England. To begin this understanding of modern-day kingship, or queenship, as in the case of Elizabeth, I confess that I did something I have not done before. I binged-watched something on Netflix the previous Saturday. It was the Netflix new series entitled The Crown, the life of Queen Elizabeth. My excuse for binge-watching was that a week ago Saturday, I woke up not feeling well. I thought I was on the verge of getting sick because one of our staff members had been sick. So I assumed I was fighting that bug. So I decided I had better stay in and rest, drink plenty of liquids, take vitamin C, and curl up on the couch. Now, I had watched two episodes of The Crown a week before, and there were only eight left. And thus, I began to watch, one after the other, last Saturday. I share this on purpose because with each episode I began to observe a young woman slowly transform from a royal princess into the Queen of England. I observed a grace of transformation, the very grace that God offers us through the life of Jesus, the very grace that is offered no matter what vocation we live, no matter what work we do, whether we are retired or in school, whether we are facing a difficulty or feeling successful. There is a deep grace within us, inviting us into the royal priesthood of Jesus Christ, followers of a radical trust. So what struck me as I watched the crown was witnessing Elizabeth let go of assumptions for a new way of life. For young Elizabeth becoming queen, serving in this capacity for her people, superseded her personal wishes, even her marriage. I felt within my own heart a heaviness and a sympathy for her as she learned to let go of her will for the sake of her new role. I began comparing her life story with that of Jesus, who said to his followers that his food was to do the will of his Father, who said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but yours be done." Even at the age of 12, transformation had begun in Jesus. As we encounter the child Jesus in the temple, talking with religious teachers. And after that, Mary and Joseph said to each other, "He's growing in wisdom and grace." For Elizabeth, a transformation began taking place as she embraced the unending demands of becoming the head of the Commonwealth of Great Britain, of meeting with the Prime Minister each week, of adjusting to being the head of the House of Windsor, even though her mother and grandmother were still alive. Each day, Elizabeth had duties to perform, even if the public did not see, including the paperwork she had to understand before signing. She counted on the advice of her private secretary to understand the nuances and policies of her decisions. Her marriage to Philip was tested, as they both recognized nothing would be the same because of the crown. At the end of Jesus' life, he was persecuted and presented with a crown of thorns, as soldiers mocked him and dressed him in royal purple. A final transformation had begun 3 years previous, when Jesus emerged from the desert after his baptism with John. Nothing was the same after that baptism, when the Spirit descended upon him and a voice declared, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." He had inherited his kingly role of service with that vocal anointing. Jesus had waited to embrace his mission, and now his life from then on was an unfolding yes. As Jesus began his ministry, dedication and focus transformed him, as it did Elizabeth, as she learned to be a queen. Jesus never sought to be a queen. Actually, Elizabeth did not either. But with the abdication of her uncle, King Edward VIII, her father became king King George VI, and thus she was next in line. And in her middle 20s, Elizabeth became queen. Jesus was asked if he was a king right before his death, when Pilate confronted him at his mock trial and said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not from this world. My followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." The kingdom of Jesus Christ is in sharp contrast to earthly power. On the cross, he did not use divine powers to save himself from death. His kingship was love. Jesus did not meet evil with evil, but repaid evil with good. He forgave. Jesus asked God to forgive those who were ending his life. And to the criminal dying next to him, he promised, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We pray this way too, asking Jesus to remember us as we face our darkest moments. But more than a remembering, Jesus is the power. Jesus is a king of a kingdom more powerful than anything on earth, and the sharing of that power is alive in the word today. Jesus on the cross said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The kingdom is today. Jesus is with you in your living and in your dying. Remember, Jesus does not want us to suffer alone in the dark. But maybe today you are in sort of a darkness. But because Jesus is with you today, you are with Jesus in paradise today, transforming grace. The cross of Jesus became the throne of grace. Many kings and nations have fought wars to liberate a captive people. But we must not forget that Christ the King is a different type of king. Jesus rules with graciousness and frees us and unifies us without anyone being left out, and all without the use of violence. Violence to stop violence does not address the cause of our divisions. It only reminds us of how desperate we truly are for a new sort of king. And another way to comprehend, to accept Jesus as our new king, is this. Since God is in each of us, especially the weakest, the poor, the hungry, the naked, the stranger, the immigrant, the homeless, the imprisoned, and the thirsty, we find his throne of grace in each of us. Jesus, as King, is at work as a servant of grace. Because I binge-watched last Saturday and watched all 10 episodes of the first season of The Crown, I have to wait and wait many months for the new season. But I do not have to wait for Jesus. Jesus is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what you face each day, in the power of grace, God is in it with you. and it begins with letting go of control. Let not the language of this Sunday, Christ the King, get in the way of the message. We are invited to unite, without exception, around the throne of Christ the King, and finally see in each other the love and compassion of God. And as we follow, as we serve, as we pray, as we let go, we will be transformed by amazing grace. May you embrace a yes in your unfolding life, both the crown and the cross that is yours. Amen.